We have spent the past couple of days on the show talking about the results from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey on a wide variety of issues. In our last half hour, we talked about who we blame for the government shutdown and some related issues. And most of us in Wisconsin, more Wisconsin residents, 42%, blame congressional Republicans for the shutdown. We're going to expand on that discussion in this half hour, talking with a guest about how the Tea Party is being viewed in this country, the state of the Tea Party following the recent partial government shutdown, how powerful a force it still is and may be in future political negotiations. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Thursday, October 24th. Our guest is Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. He's also a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans and the Iowa Federation of College Republicans. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we've talked quite a bit about last week's budget deal, so we wanted to focus a little bit more on what's coming down the road next. What's going on these days following the reopening of our government?
I suppose at least in part it's getting back up to speed. That certainly it takes a little bit for the government to shut itself down, as we saw, and then to get spun back up again. But, you know, that's the minor aspect to your question. The bigger thing is what's going to happen in terms of January and February when we have to face the same issues again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that remains to be seen, that certainly the administration would like to get rid of the sequesters in a second round that's scheduled to occur. So that would seem to give the Republicans a little bit of negotiating power. But on the other hand, the Democrats were very successful in holding the line, so to speak, in this last round. And so that could make it more difficult for the Republicans to really negotiate with any kind of leverage in terms of cutting back on spending in some way in exchange for raising the debt ceiling again.
Well, all right, the government will shut down again on January 16th, unless another budget deal is signed into law. What's your analysis, given how the last round played out? Are we going to have a deal or no deal?
Well, as is usually the case, we'll get a deal at some point. It's always a matter of which side is going to compromise the most. In this last round, it was the Democrats that really didn't do much in the way of compromising, although I've heard some people say, well, yes, they really did in certain little respects, but nothing to the extent that obviously the Republicans in the House wanted, and so they pretty much had to give in by and large. And that's how it's been spun, is that it was a victory for Democrats, a loss for Republicans, and it's just all terrible gloom and doom for the Republicans. And I'm not sure it's quite that bad, but it does make it more difficult for them to hold a strong position the next time around. I think part of their problem, aside from, you know, whatever else was going on, was that it wasn't clear what their strategy was going to be. And I'm not even talking specifically about Ted Cruz and the notion of whether anybody really wanted a shutdown. I don't think the Republicans wanted a shutdown because they knew they were going to get blamed for it. But on the other hand, the question was, well, how do they get out of the situation that they got themselves into in a way that would allow them to at least achieve some policy goals? And they just didn't seem to have a clear plan this last time around. So now they've got at least a couple of months to try to figure this out. The situation may change enough, not a lot, but enough, that it may give them a way to, again, give them a little bit of leverage with the president. But again, like I say, the Democrats held firm and saw what happened this last time as a victory, so they may try to hold firm again.
Seems that Tea Party Republicans held firm, too, in the vote. Most of them, there were a lot of no votes to the deal that reopened government and averted default. Those were the Tea Party Republicans?
By and large, yes.
Yeah, and what kind of position is the Tea Party in today? Unrepentant and mad as heck?
and not going to take it anymore, mm-hmm, to finish that line from Network. Yeah, I think in some respects that both the Tea Party folks and I'll call them the establishment Republicans have a point in that the Tea Party folks, a lot of grassroots folks in particular, really were getting tired of what they saw as big government Republicans or Republicans that they voted to go to Washington and show some fiscal responsibility that didn't, that all of a sudden they became big government Republicans. They were concerned about George W. Bush along those lines and plus a number of current office holders. And that's why the Tea Party office holders like Cruz, Senator Cruz, and Senator Mike Lee of Utah, why they got elected in the first place. Of course, we're talking on the House side, so we've got a number of those folks on the House, too. And so the Tea Party grassroots folks are happy to see these folks fight for what they sent them to Washington to fight for. On the other hand, the more establishment-type Republicans saw that they didn't have that so-called exit strategy, and there was no way to sort of win from what they saw, so they took a more practical approach. And so in different respects, both sides were right. And the question is can they come together in some way to find a solution that, from their perspective, benefits the Republican Party and doesn't end up hurting them to any significant degree in not only the 2014 elections, but then later on in the presidential elections of 2016.
So are the Republicans who favor Tea Party policies, are they poised to make a big difference in next year's elections?
I think they can in a variety of ways. Now, how much that difference is going to be will depend a lot on what happens in the next year. We're still kind of we're a long way away from the 2014 elections. It's only a year, but that's a long time in political terms. Plus, as we've already mentioned, given what's going to likely happen in January and February, and maybe even beyond that, that if they don't come up with something that will satisfy everybody and last through the 2014 elections, it's possible we can see a replay of this a couple of times between now and then, and that could certainly affect voters' views of the two parties and what's going on and who's being obstructionist and who's not. On the other hand, if they come to some sort of solution and it sort of takes backstage, much like some Republicans were saying, is that, well, if it hadn't been for the shutdown, then the problems with the Obamacare website, healthcare.gov, would have been front and center, as they have been for the last week or so, and that would have been to their ultimate gain as opposed to the loss, so to speak, that they suffered with the shutdown. So we kind of have to wait and see, and we'll have to wait and see if the Tea Party folks, if they try to primary some incumbent Republicans, and if they are successful in doing so, if they manage to put up strong candidates that could actually win a general election as well. So it's kind of an open question at this point, but certainly the Tea Party can be important if for no other reason, even aside from putting up candidates, that they're the voters. And if they decide to sit home on Election Day in 2014, then it's going to hurt the Republican Party.
Yeah, I saw in the news that Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, has a Tea Party opponent right now, Matt Bevin, who is a hedge fund partner.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to see probably more of that. I'm wondering if you might have any thoughts on, we have one U.S. representative in Wisconsin from the 8th Congressional District, the only Republican in our congressional delegation who voted yes for the deal that opened up the government, Reed Ribble. He's getting some flack for voting yes.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Again, the Tea Party folks wanted to vote for people that were going to, in their view, go to Washington and exercise some fiscal responsibility. And generally, they want a smaller, more responsive, leaner government. Not no government, as some Democrats will accuse them of, but so they're not happy with basically giving in or caving in as they see it. We had something similar here in Iowa where one of our two Republican representatives, one voted no and one voted yes, and the one that voted yes was getting criticism from some conservatives and Tea Party folks, and the one that voted no was getting criticism from moderates and liberals. So, pretty much for these, all these folks, no matter how they voted, they were going to get criticized by somebody. I think as far as, a representative that voted yes for that, those folks can probably explain it in terms that make sense, saying, well, look, at this point, there was no real other option. and it was going to happen, and, you know, so might as well vote yes, get this behind us, move on, try to find a solution so that we don't have to go through this again in January. So that's kind of the explanation. Now, well, whether Tea Party folks or just generally the voters in a particular representative districts will buy it, well, that's another question, and so it's a matter of that person getting out there and talking to the constituents.
We're talking with Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, about the future of the Tea Party, the battle that's going on in the Republican Party between establishment Republicans and Republicans who back Tea Party policies, and what's coming up next in this budget battle. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you expect more budget battles in January and February like the one that we just went through? Do you think this is the new normal? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now we are talking about the Tea Party and where it's going next with Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, who is also a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans and the Iowa Federation of College Republicans. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Before we go to the phones, Professor Hagel, I wanted to ask you because we just heard that our U.S. Representative Congressman Paul Ryan from the 1st Congressional District in Wisconsin is calling for the head of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, asking that she be fired, calling for her firing. Tea Party groups are beginning anti-health care ads and blitzes in other parts of the country. The whole thing over the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, this is not going away either.
No, it's certainly not going to. And again, the problems that they're having with the website, at least as the president described it, well, it's just a website that the law is still good. But you know, the response by the Republicans has been, well, yeah, maybe just a website, but you had 3 years to do it, and how many ever millions of dollars, 600, is thrown out or something around that area. And it's indicative of perhaps the way the rest of the law is going to be administered, and that's a problem. As far as the Sebelius thing, it's kind of an odd thing where even though the president has indicated he has full confidence in her, that from a managerial perspective, there's been a real problem here, even aside from the specifics of the website, because if there were such problems, the president should have known about it, given that it's a signature piece of legislation. And if he didn't know about it, then the managers down below should have, you know, that they need to take some sort of responsibility. And you sometimes don't see that in the public sector as you might in the private sector, where certainly somebody that was in charge of such a failure, a public kind of failure, even if the law itself is going to be fine and it's just a matter of getting the website fixed, that kind of public failure would result in people losing their jobs. And you just kind of don't see that in the public sector the way you do in the private sector.
It's also in the news of from Forbes. Last night, it reports the White House confirmed it intends to delay the enforcement of the individual mandate by as much as 6 weeks because of the computer problems. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's interesting because the administration and Democrats in the Senate were fighting so hard against having a delay of the individual mandate, although at least at the time that they were resisting that, it was more because that's something that the House Republicans wanted, is just because then it would be fair because businesses had gotten that delay. But now, because of a failure, they're willing to allow for the delay. And they really have to. I mean, they really don't have much choice because it's a Republican line along these lines. It's, well, how can you impose a fine on somebody for not buying something that they can't get on the website to purchase. So it makes sense just from a practical standpoint, but from a PR standpoint, it doesn't help the Democrats' case.
Let's take some calls. John in Appleton is with us. Hello, John.
Hi. I was just wondering if your caller knew of any Republican alternatives to the Affordable Care Act and the medical crisis. I really haven't heard any alternate solutions to Obamacare.
So maybe, you know, what the Tea Party doesn't like Obamacare, what do they want instead?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I happened to be at a GOP debate last night for the various Iowa candidates, Republican candidates that are looking for the nomination for the open Senate seat that we have here in Iowa. And that was actually a question that was that came up. And certainly Republicans generally get criticized for saying, okay, you don't like Obamacare, but what are you going to do? And some of the common themes, not everybody agrees on these. Some want to have just a full repeal and replace. And then, of course, you say, well, we'll replace it with what? Well, certainly a number of Republicans will say, well, we should keep the parts of Obamacare that people seem to like and seem to be serving a good purpose, like allowing young adults to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26, to not allow insurance companies to drop people with pre-existing conditions and so forth. Another example of something to do is to allow people to buy insurance across state lines, which is currently prohibited. So generally, Republicans will try to find some sort of market-based solution, but what they don't like is the notion that you have to force people to buy something, the individual mandate, and then just generally the fact that it's the federal government taking over kind of goes against their small government principles.
Ray from Milwaukee couldn't hang on the line, but he wanted to say that he respects the Tea Party because they're standing for something. They have a backbone, and they're sticking to what they say. Ray says he voted for President Obama, but he's disappointed that Obama is not showing much backbone. Yeah, some Democrats think Obama has compromised too much. Maybe not in this very last instance when he said no negotiation because you're not taking away my signature health care law, but what about that thought?
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. The number of folks that on the left, progressives, are not happy that Obama didn't do more, even though he has done a lot. But it's a question of having sort of the personality to get things done. And this is where you get into comparisons with Obama's style versus Clinton's, Bill President Clinton's style. And Clinton was able to get things done. Now, I have to say, though, that certainly a number of liberals did always care for some of the things that Clinton got done, but he was able to find a way, as we said at the time, to triangulate between Congress and the people and so forth, and he had to deal with the Republican Congress, although both houses, so he had a little bit stiffer competition, so to speak, with the Congress, but he was able to get things done and basically got a good reputation ultimately as a result, not so much with Republicans, of course, but certainly among Democrats, and he's seen as a good political figure negotiator, and Obama just hasn't really shown that yet, even though he managed to get, of course, Obamacare through, the Affordable Care Act, but at a time when he had large majorities in both houses of Congress.
Judy in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Judy.
Hi. I just think that the Tea Party is going to continue to fight an uphill battle because they used to say that they felt that health care shouldn't be free, you know, that everybody should have some skin in the game and that they should have to pay something. Well, now they're against the individual mandate. So they don't want to have to force poor people to pay for their health insurance. But they also don't want, you know, them to get anything for free. And they also don't want, you know, it's like they're sounding cruel. They're sounding mean. And I think that most Americans are starting to wake up and say, hey, these people are not about anything that they've said before. Every time you try to please them, they change the story about what it is that they're really standing for. What they really stand for is that they don't like poor people. And they feel they have a deeply embedded belief that if you are poor and needy, that you did something wrong with your life, and that's just too bad. And
yeah, Professor Hagel, does the Tea Party hate poor people?
Well, it's certainly the way that Democrats want to portray them, that ever since the Tea Party emerged in 2009, 2010, that the Democrats have worked very hard to characterize them in very negative terms. And this is particularly evident within the last month or so with the Country Thompson over the debt ceiling and the shutdown and all of that. But, yeah, the Tea Party does want to have folks have skin in the game, and they do certainly have concerns about people that are taking advantage of the system in one way or another. But on the other hand, they also recognize that some people do need help, and so it's a matter of finding that balance. But any time that the Tea Party or somebody that represents Tea Party ideal says, well, no, you need to be able to pay for this or have something or have more responsibility, then, of course, you can bring out somebody, the other side can bring out somebody who really is in desperate need and say, oh, well, this person would be denied. Well, it's not necessarily true, but it makes a good story, and certainly contributes to the narrative of the Tea Party as cold, cruel, and heartless.
Scott in Whitewater is with us. Hello, Scott.
Hi. I don't necessarily think that they're cold, cruel, and heartless, but I'm not sure how intelligent sometimes they are. How do they reconcile the estimates of $24 billion in loss of government shutdown with being fiscally responsible?
Mm-hmm. Professor Hagel?
Yeah, I've seen that figure. I'm not quite sure how it was calculated, and at least in certain respects, we saw where the administration was willing to spend money to try to make the shutdown hurt as much as possible. And a good example of that, of course, was with trying to shut down the open-air World War II Memorial. And I had been there when I worked in D.C. I'd been to the memorial many times at night to take pictures of things, and there was no around. There were no barricades, no rangers around at a time, park rangers around at a time when it was closed during the evening. And yet when it came for the shutdown, they hired, you know, extra people to come and guard the place, hired barriers or rented them to come and put them up to try to close it off in some particular way. So in that sense, that $24 billion might be somewhat inflated. But on the other hand, it does cost a certain amount of money to shut down your operations. And what we don't know, or what you don't hear from that, is what the other side is as well. You know, was there some savings to this as well in terms of things not getting done? My guess is probably not that much. And so in terms of fiscal responsibility, maybe in the short term it wasn't that good, but in the long term the idea was, at least, whether it was a good idea or not is another question, but the idea was to try to negotiate something that long term would reduce the spending and hopefully the deficit and the debt.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.